Welcome, I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. On today's show, we are celebrating 20 years of Dance Mission Theater. This is one of my favorite theaters in San Francisco, and they are going to celebrate with a one-night-only performance, Adelante, on Friday at the Herps Theater in San Francisco. That means Onward. The performance will be a celebration of Dance Mission Theater's community of artists, teachers, students, activities, friends, and family. Dance Mission Theater has more than 1,500 people step through their doors every single week. Some use it as a space to create dance, others rehearse or present new works, and many are welcome to take their very first dance class, whether they are 7 or 70 years old. Dance Mission Theater is not only a space for dance and performance, it is also a San Francisco institution with a huge focus on feminism and social justice. You can get tickets to attend Adelante this Friday at 7:30 p.m. It'll be happening at the San Francisco War Memorial and Performing Arts Center, Herps Theater. You can find tickets on yourcallradio.org or over at dancemissiontheater.org. And today we are joined in studio by three guests. Chrissy Kiefer is Artistic Director of Dance Brigade and co-leader of Dance Mission Theater. Chrissy has honed her craft over the last 40 years by leading choreographers of many dance forms. Chrissy co-founded Dance Brigade in 1984 as a feminist dance company, which toured nationally and developed and staged full-length performances exploring a wide range of critical social justice issues. Hi, Chrissy. Welcome back to the show.
Hi. It's great to be here.
It's great to have you. Thank you.
Yeah.
Stella Edelman is a San Francisco native and program director of Dance Mission Theater. Stella studied in Havana, Cuba, and moved to New York to teach math in the South Bronx. She also works with Carnival San Francisco and co-produced the Cuba Caribe Festival of Dance and Music. As a performer and dancer, Stella has collaborated with many dancers, performers, and companies. Hi, Stella. Thank you for coming in.
Hey, Rose. How are you?
Good. Great to see you. And Frederica Kiefer, who is Chrissy's daughter and is an amazing dancer, is founding member of Girl Brigade and a current member of Dance Brigade. Hi, Frederica. Thank you for joining
us. Yeah. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. Well, congratulations. I remember when I first moved to San Francisco in 95, I found you, and I will never forget Dance Brigade's performances during the George W. Bush administration and when the U.S. invaded Iraq. It was so powerful, Chrissy.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'll never forget that. So congratulations on all the amazing work you've done.
Thank you very much. It's been a long journey. I've actually been at this since 1975 when I was in the Wallflower Order Dance Collective out of Eugene, Oregon. We used to come down here all the time and perform at the Victoria Theater and ODC and over at Laney College and Cat's Paw in Berkeley. So I've been stomping the ground of the Bay Area since I was 22 years old. I know.
So
forever.
Different back then. Yeah. How did you get into dance and art? What inspired you?
Well, my mother was a dancer. And so I grew up in Columbia, South Carolina, and it was one of the very few cultural activities that took place in Columbia, South Carolina at that time. And so I studied ballet from the time I was 6 until I was 15 and got interested in drugs and boys and other things that were much more important than tendus and all that.
Do you still have connections to South Carolina?
Well, I'm friends with my dance studio on Facebook, and so I follow a lot. And I'm friends with the children of my teacher, who I was madly in love with, Ann Brody from Columbia Civic Ballet. It made a huge impression. She made a huge impression, and the whole school made a huge impression. And, you know, here was a woman role model who put on these major productions and had this enormous school, you know, and so there weren't a lot of women that worked in those days. And so this was somebody who really showed me that just take the bull by the horns and do it and make it happen. And she created a legacy, and some amazing dancers came out of there that ended up in the New York City Ballet. So
what a great time to be doing this, because as a child of the 70s, there was just so much activism at that time.
Yes,
right?
I was so lucky. Yeah.
Yeah. And so talk about your decision to really get into dance with politics and social justice. And feminism was at the core.
Well, right. Well, so that's interesting. Just what I was telling the story about Anne Brody, it's also, you know, that role model. My mother was also fierce. So I was kind of born with combat boots on, so to speak. So I carried those combat boots into the dance studio. And
it's really good.
I don't know how to explain it. I just was, you know, it was the 70s. It was women's music and women's poetry and lesbian culture. It was a whole transition in how women were perceived, and I got to be super part of that. And I was in Eugene, Oregon. So Eugene, Oregon at that time was run by women's collectives, like the collective that came out of, like, you know, Mao and Ho Chi Minh, all of that collective activity of the 70s related directly to how we organized ourselves. So I was in a dual power structure inside of Eugene, Oregon. Every possible women's collective was there. So we were there, the Wallflower Order Dance Collective. And we got, it was immediate back and forth between our community. You know, our shows were immediately sold out. They were like rodeos. Hundreds of women would come sit around in a circle, and we'd do this very alive feminist dance about every issue imaginable.
Wow.
Yeah, I was so lucky. I just feel like I was in the right place at the right time and was able to carry that message really with the help of Holly Neer. Holly Neer's family and road work, Amy Horowitz, they carried the message for us across the country.
Wow.
And supported us. We performed in every city in the United States, went to Canada, went to Europe, because there was this burgeoning women's movement that wanted to see dancers that looked, wanted to see women strong with power. We didn't shave our legs. We didn't shave under our arms. I mean, we were right out there doing it. You know,
love
before, I think we're the first probably dance company that had feminism as a core agenda.
Mm-hmm. You know. What struck you about the response you got from people? Not just the feminists, but the wider community.
Well, you know, we went to like Kansas City and got called Wallflower Order as a national cultural treasure. We were reviewed in the New York Times. Deborah Jowett championed our work in her book. Like, there was some way that we were able to create this kind of narrative dance that was actually went beyond just our audience and resonated, you know, kind of internationally, worldwide. And I think it was sort of like performance art, but more coherent in a way than performance art. And people got it, and they dug it. Mm. They just loved it. Yeah.
And why did you decide to move to San Francisco? And when did you move to San Francisco?
We moved from Eugene, Oregon in 1981 to Boston. We moved as a company to Boston because there were so many colleges on the East Coast, and we thought it would make it easier to respond to the need. We were touring all the time. We were touring maybe 4 or 5 months out of the year. I mean, we were exhausted too. And then Boston was not our place. It just wasn't. It was cold, and you can't find your way around that city to save your life, and it was expensive compared to Eugene, and we didn't have the same kind of community. And so we moved to Berkeley so we could be right next to La Peña practically. And so we just joined back up with the group of Rice and all of those people, and and then here we are.
And just that time when you arrived mm-hmm. in the Bay Area, uh-huh. what was that like for you, just to meet all the other artists and just the community here?
Well, it was a huge dance community. You know, it was good. It was interesting because in Eugene, we were kind of the only game going on. And there was certain kind of adoration. I think I was unprepared for the level of political struggle, that I would be so challenged politically, you know, that you can't just say anything you want. Where in Eugene, I could just kind of say whatever I wanted, and people, you know, who cared? The stakes weren't as high. But here, the political discourse and the political struggle was much more intense, and I feel like the company got really trapped up in that, of not really knowing how to respond, and a lot of demands on us personally around our individual political stands. And then actually the Chronicle was pretty brutal in their response to our work. And so I actually sit around and was like, why did I stay? Because it was much more competitive. It was harder. It's been a fight. I mean, as successful as we've been at Dance Mission, and, you know, Stella's work there has been amazing, it has not been easy to carve out. It's been, I'm going to do this come hell or high water. And, you know, I just, now that I have the microphone, like the Chronicle actually boycotted reviewing my work for a super long time. Like, they didn't review my work for almost 20 years. And I think it had a lot to do with the struggle around that when I challenged the San Francisco Ballet on their weight and height thing. I really took a beating from that. And we don't talk about that. I never really talked about it because I was just hoping someday they review my work again. And they really never did. They have not. And Alan Ulrich would tell me straight up, my editor doesn't like your work. Well, the editors have passed away and Alan's passed away. And somebody looked at me and said, you're the last person standing here in this. So I know. I'm going to write my book. And I told Alan, I'm going to put this in my book.
Can you just remind us, for people who aren't familiar with what was going on with the San Francisco Ballet?
Oh,
Just briefly.
In 2001, I challenged their the city's ordinance on you can't discriminate on weight and height. So I used that challenge with the San Francisco Ballet around a Frederica's audition into that training program. But it made international news because it was the first time anybody had ever challenged what is the criteria for somebody to be a ballet dancer. And at that time, Misty Copeland wasn't in the ballet world. Like, that's, you know, if anything came out of it, I feel like I kind of participated in opening that door, because the anorexic 5'7", 103-year-old ballerina has changed. And there are many, many more height and body types, and people of color are, you know, not only populating, but actually the soloists all over the world at this point. Nobody sends out more dancers than Cuba, and they are in every dance, internationally, mm-hmm. in every dance company. So the face of ballet has changed, and, you know, maybe we participated in that. I don't know.
What are your thoughts about that, looking back, Frederica?
Yeah, I was just thinking about it, actually. Frankly, it all happened so fast, you know, and I thought it was, looking back, I think it was quite a revolutionary thing that we did. You know, in the moment, it was a little hard to see. We were traveling a lot of places really fast, and it was exhausting, and we were going to New York and in 2 days and coming back. And as an 8-year-old, I think that was a lot. But at the same time, I mean, that's definitely paved the road that I'm kind of walking now. And I've not only been able to help run the Girl Brigade at Dance Mission and be a part of the Dance Brigade and continue the legacy that my mom has created, but also I've created my own business around body awareness and confidence boosting through dance, rhythm, and music, helping people kind of get centered through dance. And, you know, with that, I've been able to create a huge business and following. So it's actually, you know, they say your struggle can be your biggest blessing, and I feel like that's sort of what it's been.
Wow. Tell us more about that.
Okay, so, you know, a couple years ago, we had somebody come to Dance Mission sort of in a midlife crisis, I guess you can say. She was coming out of a really bad breakup, and she thought that dance would solve her problems. And so she came to us, and she was like, I don't know, I'm getting this sign that I feel like I should start dancing. Can you help me? And we were like, yeah, absolutely. So I started one session with her, and then she ended up immediately wanting to do 7 days a week. And I personally didn't have the stamina to do that. So I brought on two of my other dance friends and fellows at Dance Mission, and we ended up working with her 7 days a week, each one of us twice a week. And, you know, I looked at her, and as she just kept going in these private lessons, she kept getting more comfortable and open, and we, you know, our lessons got really vulnerable. And she would talk about how, you know, she was a, you know, she had issues with weight and body in the past. And, you know, I just continued to look at her, and I was like, wow, like, there's got to be more people out there like you. And that's when I had the thought of, like, and I've got to find them and help them. Because what I was able to transpire in our lessons was not only dance just being this like recreational thing, but it was actually really life-changing for her. And she started off of our lessons really, you know, looking down kind of in this very like cowardly, you know, in mannerisms. And over time, she walked in with a lot of confidence, really grounded on her feet. You know, she looked me in the eyes after several lessons, which wasn't how she began. And, you know, there was a confidence in her eyes that really started to develop, and that was really inspiring. And so that was kind of how that took off.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, isn't that great?
Amazing, Chrissy.
Yeah. Well, she did this. This is her own thing. She's got tons of people that call that she dances with and teaches lessons. And that's kind of the miracle of Dance Mission, which is We're open to so many things happening, and we've just created some brilliant programming out of the core feminist belief. You know, the way where Stella talks about intersectional feminism, which is overlapping, like, not only feminism but the struggles of internationally, or LGBT struggles, or transgendered studies, or struggles, or, you know, what everybody's doing. But to me, that was what feminism was from the beginning. Was always a major concern about what was fair, who had access, and what was fair. So, you know, maybe Stella could talk a little bit about the programming, you know, that we've been able to create at Dance Mission that reflects just the core issues of how do I feel in my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's so funny how, you know, people sometimes think, like, oh, being a dancer, you have to look a certain way or be a certain way. But just to echo kind of what Frederica said, like, that's my same experience growing up with dance. I started dancing with the San Francisco Arts Education Project, San Francisco Arts Education Foundation, with Emily Keeler and Danny Duncan and Camille Salmon. And just being allowed to take up space, that was huge, to be saying, like, you have to be big, and you know what? You're allowed to be big. And as someone who was, you know, dealing with, like, oh, I have to be quiet. I have to be, I'm shy. I don't know what to say. To be not only given permission, but encouraged was huge. And then we see that all the time with our Girl Brigade program, I think. And that's part of the thing with confidence. Like, not how people are, like, how does performance lead to leadership? But you see that with like, you know, you have a voice and you can use it. You can use it on stage to reach people. You can be loud on the taiko drum. And so we've carried that, as Chrissy was saying, through other programs throughout Dance Mission. We have this new project that's about a year and a half old, almost 2 years old now, called Baile Colectivo. It's a project that we're doing in collaboration with La Colectiva de Mujeres. This is an amazing, if anyone's interested in learning more about them, they're amazing worker-run collective that is part of the Day Laborers Program. So we're working with this group of women, primarily domestic workers, primarily recent immigrants, primarily Latinas, Spanish speaking, and we're working with them doing dance classes. Wow. So using dance not only as a form of health, because when you're working kind of in the margins, you know, this not official workforce, you won't always have access to health care. So not only using dance as a form of health, but dance as a form of agency, mm-hmm. you know, it's being like, here's the time where to tell your story, right? So not that we're telling it for them, but hey, like, here are some tools, tell your story, say it loud. And then also using dance as a form of community. So much of the power of dance, I think, is when you are suddenly with family, and you immediately become family when you're creating a project together, when you're creating art together. And so then you have this support system. And that's something that people say all the time is, through dance, I have community. And when you walk into the doors of Dance Mission, that's what people say too, like, whoa, this kind of feels like home. But it's like a home I'm like, welcome into. It's, you know, and even though it's all these, you know, overlapping communities and seemingly disparate communities, it's pretty amazing how you look around. It's like, there's so many different people here, and they're all jiving and jamming. I mean, even last night, we had rehearsed people, you know, we're like getting ready for Friday and really excited, rehearsing late night, like, oh, let's get in one more rehearsal. And we didn't have enough studio space. And so, you know, because we're limited in space. We had Alan Frias doing hip-hop and Susana Arenas-Pedroso and her company doing Cuban folkloric. And both groups were there and were like, okay, we both want to rehearse. What can we do? It's like, okay, let's split the room. Since when does splitting a room ever be successful? But it completely was.
That's awesome.
And I think it's like, okay, we're all in this together.
You created an amazing visual when you were talking about domestic workers and immigrants dancing to tell their stories. Can you talk about what that was like, the process?
Yeah. So it's like using dance in terms of dance vocabulary, and that in terms of movement, but it's also like sitting down
and working with folks to like create kind of like, what are your narratives that you want to say? Like, and then saying, how can you translate that to movement? Mm-hmm. There's also, as part of this project, there's also a coro, a chorus that Adriana Maldonado, who's one of our collaborators, is doing. And they also sit down and write songs together. And so it's been a nice collaboration between music and dance, which are, you know, often a beautiful marriage. Yeah, to tell the stories.
And how did you learn about Dance Mission? How did you get so involved?
Yeah. So I actually came at it several different ways. So it was kind of like, oh, this is definitely where I'm supposed to be. And I've been working there now for 14 years, which is, whoo.
But that's
I mean, that's also the power of Dance Mission, right? Like, so many people, we're celebrating our 20th anniversary. So many of the teachers who've been there have been there for 20 years and before that. Wow. You know, Chrissy hanging in there for 40 years, Frederica growing up and still working here. I think that speaks to the power of community and the family feel. But so I first saw Chrissy's work when you were speaking about, you know, the George Bush days. So growing up in San Francisco, being born and raised in San Francisco, politics was always something that you were around. So I kind of came at it differently, right? It's my mom was part of the San Francisco Mime Troupe for years. My father was California Newsreel, which documentary film. So politics were just always around us. So growing up, I would go in like middle school and I would go on dates and I would invite people to protest. It was really hot. but I remember seeing at the Justin Herman Plaza, seeing Dance Brigade performing at a protest and seeing the use of taiko drumming, seeing the use of martial arts, of kung fu, but kung fu then done in a whole new choreography and flipping it. And I was just completely inspired. And then to see, so then Dance Brigades go off stage and then comes on this, at that time, like 7-year-old, and does this duet. And it turned out it was Chrissy and Frederica dancing this duet together and seeing mother and daughter then take the stage. And it wasn't like, it wasn't sappy, like, oh, family. Yeah. It was actually like, wow, this is multi-generational. This is how we have to approach things, taking it from every angle. And I was like, this is what I want to do. I'm really good friends with Chrissy's stepson, Lucas. And Lucas would always tell me, you have to meet Chrissy. She has this show about Cinderella, a feminist Cinderella. You would love it. It would be amazing. So I was like, oh, yeah, I need to see that. And then the fact that, so then when Chrissy ended up running Dance Mission, that was another way in for me, because I actually grew up going to Dance Mission when it was then called Third Wave. So the corner of 24th and Mission has been a place and an incubator for dance for years and years and years. So also just giving a shout out to all the people who've made Dance Mission through the years and what we've stepped into. You know, people come in and they're like, oh, it feels so good here. You feel, this is going to sound gross, but it's actually pretty exciting, where you feel the sweat coming off the walls. Yeah. But it's also like, these people who've come before us have laid this amazing groundwork. So just wanted to give a shout out to them. So I grew up going to Third Wave. My mom would take class with Ms. Blanche Brown, and I was one of those kids who would be sitting on the bleachers watching, you know, because there's like, oh, there's no babysitter, so here you go, come on. And then one day I stopped watching and started doing. And so then it was when I moved back to San Francisco, and I was like, wait, the Dance Brigade's now doing Dance Mission, this place I love. So I just knocked on the door and said, do you need volunteers? and that's how it is at Dance Mission. Almost everyone who works there has come up through work exchange. Because again, once you start, you can't leave.
Well, today we are celebrating the 20th anniversary of Dance Mission Theater. And if you are free on Friday night, I hope you can go to their performance, Adelante, which means onward. This is going to be a celebration of a community of artists, teachers, students, friends, family. And you can find ticket information at yourcallradio.org or dancemissiontheater.org. It's this Friday at 7:30 at the Herps Theater in San Francisco. And today we're joined by Stella Edelman, San Francisco native and program director of Dance Mission Theater. Chrissy Kiefer is artistic director of Dance Brigade and co-leader of Dance Mission Theater. Frederica Kiefer is Chrissy's daughter, founding member of Girl Brigade and current member of Dance Brigade. And you can find a little video that we put also on yourcallradio.org just to let you know what you'd be in for on Friday night. We're going to take a quick break. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.
Finish.
Thank you. That is Frederica Kiefer, founding member of Girl Brigade and current member of Dance Brigade, playing the taiko drums for us. Can you talk, Frederica, about how it feels to actually play that? Because I think the other thing that really struck me when I first started watching your performances of Dance Brigade is the power. I mean, you talked about the sweat, Stella. The thing that I really felt in addition to that was just the power of these women just slamming this drum. And I've been wanting to take your beginning taiko drum class because it just feels like what a great way to not only feel empowered, but to also get out a lot of this, the energy that we feel right now where you need to just release so much. And so if you want to take this, it's an absolutely beginning taiko class, and it runs from January 12th to February 16th, and it's Sundays, 9:30 to 10:45. And I'm hoping I can take, I've been wanting to do it, but Sunday's sometimes hard. What is it like when you first start learning taiko and then when you perform and you're hitting the drum and then there's these things you yell? Is it like ha?
They're called kiais.
Kiais. Mm-hmm. Okay. So just talk about what the whole thing's like.
Yeah. I mean, I started training in taiko, I think, when I was like 9. So I don't really remember what it was like exactly when I first started. But I think what I've noticed is when you've grown up in the dance world and you have a dance technique background, the form of taiko can come really naturally. And so I think that's what I witnessed in the Dance Brigade, and also when I was drumming, that the form came really naturally to me. But I think sort of what you touched on was the healing aspect of drumming. And I think that's probably one of the main things that I've experienced from the drumming is the healing that it's helped and that it's provided. Obviously you can get out of a lot of aggression on the drum. But you know, it's also very community. It's very community forming. We do a song called, we call it the circle drumming, but we all face each other in, and it's actually one of my favorite songs to play with the Dance Brigade because we're actually able to watch each other and see each other the whole time. And we dance and we dance and drum around the circle. And so, you know, it's our own very specific drum circle, and it's really beautiful and really powerful.
How does it feel just to be on stage with these other amazing women and you're just slamming the drum and at the same time making such a powerful statement? How does it feel? I always wonder, how do you feel when you're doing that?
Yeah, it's exciting. It's electrifying. It's everything that it looks like. Mm. You know, it's powerful. It's fun. It's a great feeling to be in such a flow with other people through music.
I think also it feels so good because people join Dance Brigade and then when they're not dancing anymore, they usually transition into drumming, like Karen and Kim and Rochelle. And people don't leave. Wow. If they can do it, they stay because it's such a...
It's available.
It's accessible. And it's such a profound feeling to be able to not only hold the space on stage, but also get an audience to witness, you know, to have that back and forth and to be able to keep performing. And I think, you know, right now, taiko in the United States is dominated by women. It was a male art form. And Tanaka Sensei was the first one to teach women how to play taiko drums. And that has birthed hundreds of groups internationally of primarily women players. And I think because for women who have, as Stella was saying, you know, earlier, who don't have agency and where the culture is like against women speaking truth to power, it's a way to speak truth to power on Sunday morning with 10 other women who have come from their particular backgrounds and, as Frederica said, kind of participate in a healing ritual through practice and performing.
Right. Yeah. And just, I also feel that the body is so open when you're doing this and you're using so much of your strength.
Well, and it's also creates an enormous endorphin rush as well. I mean, a lot of people play for the actual
the chemical
thing that happens when you work out as hard as you work out when you play taiko.
What's it like for you, Chrissy? I mean, you've been doing this for a while, but I always, because I've seen you perform too, and sometimes you come out and do this amazing spoken word, and you don't mince words. I remember the one about tech in San Francisco and what you said about Mark Zuckerberg.
Yeah, yeah.
And I brought a friend who'd never seen you, and he said, wow, these women are amazing. Yeah. But what's it like for you to choreograph and just to see what you put together, especially the drums, when these women are up there and the audience is just kind of in awe of what they're watching?
Well, I think, I mean, I'm always kind of, when I actually sit back and watch the work when I'm not in it, I'm always kind of amazed at how amazing it is. I think it's really good work. I think I've had a lot of years to make the work. So I know what I'm doing. I kind of know what I'm doing. You know, the first time I saw Tycho at the Vancouver Folk Festival in 1984, I was completely blown away. I had never seen Tycho, and I thought it was the most amazing thing because it was the mixture of dance and drumming together. I also have a really strong affinity and interest in Asian art form, you know, like that's a broad thing, but, you know, maybe because of, you know, being on the West Coast all this time, but, you know, there's been martial arts in our work, and, you know, I love those ballets that they did in, China, the Red Detachment of Women and White Haired Girl, which were, the women were on pointe shoes carrying the rifles and the machetes. Like, I liked all that revolutionary dance that came out of Mao's Cultural Revolution, even though, of course, the end result was not what anyone wanted. But I liked everybody's effort to tell stories about the rise of the working class and the proletariat. I love to watch the Tycho. I actually, at this point, my ears hurt from, we're all going deaf over at Dance Mission from the drumming that's there. Yeah. And our teacher, I have to shout out to Bruce Gant. He's an amazing, amazing
composer.
Mm-hmm. Really amazing. And he's actually writing a piece for right now for our new show in January, which is called Butterfly Effect, which is all about climate change. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. And just to kind of piggyback on what everyone's been saying about Tycho, as that's one of the things that I also love about Dance Mission is all of the different types of dance and art that's offered. You know, during a time when displacement is such a big thing in San Francisco and in the Bay Area, you know, cultural preservation is something that's super, super important. You know, culture as a form of resistance, culture as a form of resilience. People will continue being loud on the streets, no matter where they are. But the fact that there's a space and that, you know, we're acknowledging that this is important. Not only, you know, and it's both ways, right? Both traditional, keeping stuff that's been happening for years and honoring tradition, and then also creating new stuff too, because culture is living and it's always in communication with one another. You know, multicultural is kind of like not used that much anymore because, like, what does it really mean? But I would say that Dance Mission is truly intercultural, where there's different people communicating with each other all the time, exploring ideas, sharing, not watering down at all what they're doing, but just keeping the conversation alive and going. And that's still part coming out of the whole feminist movement, right? Like,
also, our program is huge in terms of the African diaspora. So we have so many different kinds of drumming at Dance Mission. There's Afro-Brazilian drumming at Dance Mission. There's Afro-Cuban dancing. There's drumming from Senegal. There's drumming is kind of a baseline music. There's a drum beat in all of hip hop that's kind of drives the music. And we have so many different kinds of dance that's represented through the culture and struggle of African people, regardless of where the diaspora took them, you know, from Cuba to Brazil to Grenada to New Orleans to all the hip hop and tap and all of those things have found their way into Dance Mission. And so our role in the community is to actually preserve all those traditions and help foster the new, you know, we have Native American work, you know, we have a big Native American thing happening at Dance Mission right now and all the drumming that goes, in from the Native American community. And drum is one of the essential components of dance internationally, worldwide. And so I always talk about the dance and drumming, the dance and drumming at Dance Mission. Dance and drumming at Dance Mission has always been pivotal to what makes it a success.
Well, if you're interested in taking what I have been wanting to take for years now, a beginning taiko drum class at Dance Mission, there's one that starts on January 12th and it runs through February 16th. It's Sundays, 9:30 to 10:45 in the morning. And Dance Mission is very accessible by public transportation, 24th and Mission. You can find more information at yourcallradio.org. And if you are in the Bay Area and you're free this Friday night, I hope you can go to their 20th anniversary celebration. One performance, Adelante, which means onward, and it'll be at 7:30 at the Herbst Theater. You can find ticket information at dancemissiontheater.org or yourcallradio.org. That is Chrissy Kiefer, Artistic Director of Dance Brigade and co-leader of Dance Mission Theater. Stella Edelman is Program Director of Dance Mission Theater, and Frederica Kiefer is founding member of Girl Brigade and current member of Dance Brigade. And if you'd like to join us, if you've seen one of these performances and you'd like to just share your thoughts, if you'd like to mark the 20th anniversary, we'd love to hear from you. And also just to talk about the importance of dance and art in this time. 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. We just got a call from the amazing Robert Moses.
Oh, yeah.
who said, congratulations to all of you. You make him very proud to be in the arts community.
Yes, and Robert's going to be performing. He's going to be, his company's going to be performing a solo that I saw 20 years ago when we did our first, one of our first benefits at Dance Mission. So, yeah.
On Friday. He'll be performing on Friday as part of Adelante.
Yeah, yeah. Robert does his work at our studio sometimes. He's internationally famous.
Yes.
So we're glad that he's with us.
Yeah, we love you. Your dance company is another one of my favorites, Robert. Thank you so much for calling in. And I look forward to seeing you on Friday. Let's go next to Lily in the Mission. Hi, Lily. Welcome to the show.
Hello. Hi, everyone.
Hi, Lily.
Hi, I just wanted to extend my congratulations. I've been taking classes from Dance Mission for over 11 years. I'm a resident of the Mission, and I'm also a founder of a startup called Bopsity, a social network for dancers. Particularly, I wanted to shout out to Chrissy and Stella and Frederica for playing such a pivotal role in this community. As someone who moved to the Bay Area over a decade ago for a job in tech, they've really shown me what it means to be a member of this community. And when I say community, I think about dance. I think about San Francisco. I think about the Mission. Through their work, they're constantly thinking about how to drive dialogue, pushing boundaries, celebrating differences, and how to make everything accessible. And so thank you. You've made me a better person, dancer, and neighbor. And I can't wait to celebrate you guys on Friday.
Thank you, Lily.
Wow.
That's so nice. Thank you so much for calling, Lily. We have an email from Wendy who says, I used to go to Third Wave when I first came to San Francisco in 94, but now I'm older. I would love to see more ethnic dance classes for older dancers. Any chance?
Yeah, actually, that's something that we've been talking about for a while. I'm super excited to hear that, and I'm glad to hear that it's not just like this thing that I made up in my head. but people wanting, because you can continue to move at every single age. And so that's, yes, it will happen, definitely.
All right.
Definitely.
Thank you, Wendy. And for others who are interested, I just printed out your schedule from today through Saturday. And there's so much here. Beginning Cuban Salsa, Bhangra and Bollywood, Vogue and Tone. I bet that's fun. Hip-hop, House Method, Salsa Fusion, Cuban Folkloric, Sexitude.
You could be either sexy or have attitude.
Wow.
Or you could do both and have sexitude.
I mean, it's such a wide range, and sometimes I've gone to some dance classes and you kind of feel like it's moving so fast and everybody's got the choreography down and you don't. So what would be a good place to come into if you haven't been to a class?
Yeah, so when people start, that's definitely like the fear that people have, like, it's going to be too hard, and what if I don't belong? That's a fear that I hear a lot. One, you could start a beginning class or an all levels class, and also just be kind to yourself. You know that dance is a language, and so just like it takes a while to learn it, and just let it, you know, wash over you till you absorb it. Everyone started as a beginner, so no one's going to look at you any different. That, like, why haven't they gotten it? I'm getting my 5, 6, 7, 8 on. How come they haven't? And Jess, you were mentioning all the classes that we have. So many of those teachers, like for Bhangra, Jyoti Singh, she teaches that. She's the also a choreographer herself. So she's the director of Duniya Dance and Drum. And Duniya Dance and Drum will be one of the groups performing at Adelante. Salsa is taught by Ramon Ramos Olayo, who's the director of Olayo Dance Company. So what I love is that these teachers, these choreographers are also teachers, so that they're putting their work on stage and then also transmitting it to their students as well.
Given that this show is, you know, very political, I've had some people write me over the last year and say, it's just too heavy, right? Because there's so much going on. And you all are very political. And can you talk about the importance of getting out of our head and getting into the body and just moving and dancing?
Yes, I can sort of talk about that.
Well, I can talk about that in the sense of a lot of the people who I work with one-on-one, and I just want to piggyback off of that, is of what Stella was saying. I think that's also the beauty of Dance Mission, is that it actually does – you know, Dance Mission has open arms for all levels. It's not a competition school. And I think that's also what's, you know, made us super unique, is that when people come in not knowing that they're looking for a community, but end up in community. And that's what Dance Mission has done for people. So coming in as a fresh dancer or, you know, new dancer exploring, we invite that 100%. And so that's definitely something that I've seen in all the private lessons that I teach in my clients, is that they are trying to get out of their heads and more in touch with their bodies, because a lot of these people are actually coming from the tech industry and the tech world. And so they're very analytical and approaching dance through, you know, sort of a math equation, which I think only gets you so far. But after a while, you kind of have to integrate it into your core and into your feet. And bridging the gap. And so, like you're saying, how do you break that cycle of just being in your head? And I think oftentimes people start dancing and stop breathing immediately. And so what I constantly try to remind people is, like, you have to keep breathing the whole time, because that's what keeps the circulation going and that's what keeps the rotation happening.
Interesting. Why do you think that happens?
People get tense.
Yeah.
I mean, I just think it's natural to do something new, and all of a sudden you get short and you get tense and nervous and you tighten up. And so I think to approach it, you have to do the opposite. You have to really let go and relax and trust that, you know, the floor has really got you.
Right, because in addition to being in our head and we're bombarded with information constantly, when you're talking about people in tech, computers, sitting, not really moving, holding the phone. And I feel like so many people are disconnected from the body.
Well, so many people say to me, you know, Freddie, I'm just so used to thinking about everything.
Right.
It's really hard for me to move through it physically. I'm like, great. Well, that's why we're here. We're going to explore that. And I notice, you know, we do an exercise sometimes in the room where we just, like, walk around the room to the beat. And all of a sudden people start doing these really weird things with their bodies. I'm like, no. We just walk heel toe, you know, normal. And so, yeah, it's all an exploration, you know, but I think breathing has definitely been a key thing that I've noticed that people aren't connected to.
Yeah, there's such an interesting balance. I say this a lot when I teach too. It's like there's a balance between not thinking and thinking. You want to, when you're feeling dance, you want to stop thinking about, okay, my, you know, right foot out, then 5, 6, okay, and then I turn, right? Because that you're suddenly inward and you're like, ah, and you have to let go and trust your body. And then also, though, but then you don't want to not be present. So you don't want to suddenly be thinking about your shopping list. So what's that balance between thinking and not thinking, where you can just be in the move and be like, what story am I telling? What am I projecting?
And it's also important now that we have this new generation that's connected to technology to get them out. So can you talk just quickly about Girl Brigade and what ages of kids do you work with?
Girl Brigade is our all girls dance company. We range from 9 to 18. We have about 90 girls solid in our program. They do everything from ballet, hip hop, belly dance, taiko drumming. And we run the Girl Brigade 5 days a week. And, you know, I think being a teenager right now is really, really hard. You know, more than I was even a teenager. All of us in the office are just, like, blown away by how much our girls have to constantly keep up with, you know, socially, scholastically, and just, you know, environmentally and everything that goes on in their families. And so, I mean, the girls, they're relieved to have something like the Girl Brigade. And I was definitely relieved to have something like that. I mean, it's interesting. I don't know what I really would have done after school if I didn't have dance. So I feel like dance was definitely a way that kept me really engaged. But it's a whole nother world than it was even just like 7 years ago, as far as like the Instagram and the Snapchat and all of that. And so I think our students are just trying to stay afloat mentally. And, you know, everything that we provide in the Girl Brigade is like crucial to their mental health.
I think also talk a little bit about the show that we did over the summer about.
Right. So we do this summer intensive that runs 2 weeks, and every year we come up with a theme that's most relevant to the girls. And this year we chose technology, and they just attacked the theme because they just felt like it was something they could totally relate to. So basically we were talking about consumerism and technology and social media, and all the girls just like had so much to say about how affected they were by all of these apps and how much comparing and despairing that they go into so immediately when they pull up their phones. And you know, they all talk about whether, you know, they post something, they don't get enough likes, and then they delete it, and it's all just this, you know, it's just a flood of constant thinking about where you lie socially in your friends group. And I think it's really hard to pull up your phone. Even as an adult, I have to really monitor how much I'm on my phone. But I can't imagine being a 13-year-old pulling up your phone, seeing everybody's at a sleepover and you're not invited and you have to watch it all night. Mm-hmm. I mean, how painful. And then not to mention the suicide rate has gone up incredibly. And I mean, it's a direct link, I think, to social media. And so, you know, also to have our students have the artistic outlet to express all of this was such a relief for them and super necessary is what I found.
I love all of it. I would love to have you with some of those girls on the show.
Yeah, let's do
it. Because I think it's so important. I think there's such a disconnect. I'm hearing the older generation saying, are you kidding me? With all the world problems, this is what you're concerned about? But this is so real for young people.
It's so real.
I think the show really resonated with the parents because also we do very important social discussions in our work. Like we do the People's History of the United States from Noam Chomsky, from
Howard Zinn,
and our whole show is about that. Or we do a whole thing about the environment and all the people that are being killed in the Amazon. So we have all these shows, our goddess worship all over the world. We do these things that translate into them, but this show was directly about their experience in their bedroom when they wake up or go to sleep, and the parents are in trauma trying to figure out how to keep their kids from collapsing under the power of not being appreciated, liked, look good, pretty enough, whatever it is on social media. And a lot of the kids are collapsing under the pressure of social media.
Well, we would love to do a show about that.
Yeah.
That would be incredible.
Yeah.
The hour went by so fast, and I want to make sure that we talk about what's next for Dance Mission, because you all have been such an integral part of the community, fighting to stay, trying to make your rent, and there's some big things happening for you right
now.
Yeah,
so we've been working with META, the Mission Economic Development Association, and Common Ground, and our fundraising consultant, Sharon Tannenbaum, and we're and our board of directors, our amazing board of directors, to move Dance Mission from 24th and Mission down to 18th and Mission in a building that META owns. And there will be us and Mission Neighborhood Center's early child care, and then 64 units of affordable condos to buy. So that's an entry level of home ownership in San Francisco that people are trying to solve the problem that you can't buy anything for less than $1 million, and it's only going to get worse. I just was reading some business reports this morning that, you know, San Francisco is second or first. It goes back and forth. The most expensive place to build in the world.
Wow.
So what does that mean for all this culture that we're trying to preserve? If one, there aren't people interested in the culture being preserved anymore, and two, the people that are actually doing the culture can't even afford to live anywhere within the Bay Area. So that will change everything. Now, of course, change is normal, but this kind of change, which basically, you know, without sounding, you know, draconian, there's been was a corporate move in or takeover by tech here that is only getting worse. And so we are going to try to we are doing everything we can to move our operations down to 18th and Mission.
And the reason why is because we've been hit with rent increases.
Yeah.
So to be able to stay
in
the Mission.
And we can't get a lease either.
Yeah, yeah. To be able to stay in the Mission, we have to have – this is the new thing is to own property. So,
yeah.
Which a lot of nonprofits are trying to do.
So we're looking at a $12 million build out. Basically, we'll have 14,000 square feet of space. We'll have an extra studio, office, and hangout space. All the things that are we're very kind of squeezed in at Dance Mission. We'll have an elevator, so we'll be completely ADA accessible, which is super important to us. We're really sick of not being able to serve a portion of our community that we feel like is integral to its success. So, we're all working together. We'll be working with our supervisor, Hillary Ronan. We're working with our mayor, London Breed. We'll be working with, we're hoping that the people that are allies in tech, Google and Facebook, will come forward with substantial amounts of money. And
have any listeners?
Well, they're coming to the dance classes. We feel like
it's the right thing to do, and that people will see that it's the right thing to do to keep Dance Mission going.
Yeah.
So
it'd be a great way to bridge the gap.
Yeah.
That would be an amazing way to bridge the gap.
A rainbow bridge of money.
Yeah,
oh, my goodness.
Well, thank you all for coming in so much.
It
was a great conversation, and I love what you do, and especially doing this show every day. It's just such a it's really what you do is really
power
important.
To the
thank you so much.
People and the peaceful.
If you're free on Friday night, I hope you can go and celebrate the 20th anniversary of Dance Mission Theater. Adelante will be at the Herbst Theater at 7:30. Find information yourcallradio.org or dancemissiontheater.org. You can find all the list of classes, information about the taiko drumming, Girl Brigade if you have a young person in your life. Chrissy Kiefer is co-leader of Dance Mission Theater. Stella Edelman is program director of Dance Mission Theater. Frederica Kiefer is founding member of Girl Brigade and current member of Dance Brigade. Thank you all so much.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. And thanks to Leah Cesarine for producing today's show and Kevin Vance, our studio engineer. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.
Ooh.